still my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on, when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past. All safe and blessed we shall meet at last. Be still, my soul, side.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. All right, take your Bible, if you would, tonight. Psalm 5. Good to see everybody out tonight. Psalm 5 this evening, the fifth psalm. Psalm 5. We're just going to get right to work. What do you say? Psalm 5. I'm ready to go, so we're just going to get right to work. Psalm 5. Again, appreciate the special. I like that psalm. Psalm 5. As you know, we've been working on this series, The Pursuit of God, for a while now, and working toward March. And we're going to pick up where we left off last week. If you were with us last Wednesday night, we were in Psalm 5. We're going to be back there again tonight in the same verse, actually, Psalm 5. And we're going to look at verse 3, Psalm 5 and verse 3. David writes this. He said, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." We considered the first part of this verse last week. Tonight we're going to consider the second part of the verse. And here's what we're going to call the message tonight: prayer directed causes answers to be expected. Prayer directed causes answers to be expected. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and ask that I can get my tongue straightened out and that we'll be able to do something with this message tonight. All right, Brother Mason, why don't you lead us in prayer? Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing tonight. Last time we looked at the first statement in verse 3 where David said, "Thou shalt hear my voice in the morning." And we saw last week, or said last week, that though David had his faults, he was definitely a serious man of prayer. And he wrote Again, I've never told it up, but he probably wrote more on prayer than anybody else in the Bible, or at least as much as prayer on prayer as anyone else in the Bible. He was certainly serious about it. In Psalm 55:17, he said, evening, morning, and noon, you will hear my voice. And he talked about the three times of prayer that he had in particular. But we know that he prayed even more than that, because Psalm 119:164, David spoke of praise and prayer seven times a day. I don't know if that was an addition to the three or how that worked, but David spoke of praying seven times a day. And then we also saw last time that in Psalm 86, David claimed that this was a practice that he kept up daily. So he spent a lot of time in prayer, ran a country and spent a lot of time in prayer. And there's no doubt that he understood the value of it. I think you have to understand the value of prayer to spend this much time in prayer. And maybe why we don't pray as much as we should is because we don't truly understand the value of it, as we saw last week. But we also saw last time that as important as time in prayer is, when it comes to knowing the presence of God in our life, no time of prayer is more important than morning prayer. David says in verse 3 twice, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto you. And we made the whole point last week of how important morning prayer is. How are we going to know His presence throughout the day? How are we going to walk with God throughout the day if we don't start the day by speaking to Him? And if there's anything that we ought to do in the morning, it's spend time in prayer before we go about our day and begin our day. What could be more important than prayer and praying before we begin our day? That was in part, or it certainly is an important part of knowing the presence of God, is to seek Him and seek His presence in prayer. And David, again, mentions it twice in verse 2, which may be, again, David's implying the value of morning prayer. And David had the practice of morning prayer, and again, we see that in the opening statement in verse 3, where he says, I pray every morning. Now, we also said in verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. We said last week that that has two sides to it, or could have two possible meanings. It could mean that David was confident that when he prayed in the morning, the Lord would hear his voice. Thou shalt hear my voice. I know that you will hear my voice when I pray in the morning. And I have no doubt that's true. That would be keeping in with verses 1 and 2, where David begs here three times in verses 1 and 2 for the Lord to hear. So that would be keeping in that. But secondly, and probably mainly what David meant was, it was a commitment to God, or a commitment on David's part that God would hear him every morning. David was committing that every morning I will pray. And every morning God can be assured that he will hear my voice, because I understand the importance of morning prayer. And he committed to that. And he understood that a child of God cannot be heard and therefore have their prayers answered if they don't pray. We have not because we ask not, because we don't spend time in prayer, again, as we should. And so he talked about the importance of it. And we finished up last week by saying this, that if you and I don't have a regular practice of morning prayer, or if our prayer life is not what it ought to be, it's not because we don't have anything to say. And we spent half the message talking about the fact that we have plenty to say. There are things that we need to say to him and ought to be said to him and have to be said to him. So if you and I didn't have a time of morning prayer this morning, it wasn't because there was nothing to say. There's plenty to say. And so we talked about the value and importance of all of that. Now tonight, we're going to focus for a few minutes on the second half of this, where David talks about directing his prayer, specifically the idea that if we direct our prayer properly, then we can in turn, or will in turn, expect a response. And now, first notice this idea of directed prayer. When we say that, it says in verse 3 that David directed his prayer unto God. And we use the word directed this way, we get the idea, or probably think of the idea of sending our prayers to God. We're going to pray to God. We're directing him to him, pointing them to him. And one of the uses of the Hebrew word here from which we get the word directed is an archery term. And it means to aim, as in shooting a bow. It's an archery term, meaning to aim your bow or arrow toward the target. If you want to hit the target with your arrow, then you have to direct it by aiming your arrow toward the target. Now, some people shoot bows today, but many of us also shoot firearms as well. If you want your bullet to hit the target, then you direct your bullet by aiming your gun at the target. And this is exactly what the word means. So it is true that it means to direct or aim your prayers to God. That's certainly true. And David says that in verse 3, in a sense, when he says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. I'll aim my prayers to God in the morning, and I'll direct them to him in that sense. The word from which we get the word directed, though, has a lot broader meaning than just to aim. It doesn't simply mean to aim. It's also translated in our King James Bible a whole host of other words. But all those other words that it's translated all surround the idea of to be organized. So it means to aim, but it also is many times translated in our King James Bible, words that surround the idea of to be organized. Let me give you a bunch of examples because they're important. Look over in Judges chapter 20, if you would. Judges chapter 20. I'm going to look at several of these just so we get the idea. There's nothing deep. We just need to read it and go. Again, the word from which we get the word directed certainly means to aim your prayers toward God, but it also means to be organized. And we see it translated a whole lot of words in our King James Bible surrounding the idea of to be organized. In Judges chapter 20. I'm in Joshua. Hang on just a second. Judges chapter 20. Look what it says in verse 20. It says, the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin, and the men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground the ground of the Israelites that day, 22,000 men. And the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array, in the place where they had set themselves in array the first time. Many times this word's translated the word array, as it's translated here. You know what the word array means. There's a difference between an army and a mob, right? So when you set an army into battle, you array them. You set them in order. It means to march into battle by rank and file. And so sometimes this same word is translated the word array, to organize an army. Go from there, if you will, over to Genesis 22. Genesis 22 and verse 9. Genesis 22 and verse 9. Everybody wait? Okay, Genesis 22, verse 9. If you're asleep already, it's going to be a long night for you. Genesis 22, verse 9. And they came to the place, this is where Abraham's gone to offer Isaac. Verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar of wood. Here, the same word that's translated directed in Psalm 5 is translated the word order here. So we see it as array, to set an army in rank and file. Here it means to set wood on an altar in order. If you're going to offer a sacrifice on an altar, you just don't get a bunch of wood and just throw it in a big pile. No, you arrange it so that you can effectively burn your sacrifice. It's a lot harder to burn up a sacrifice than we realize, since we don't ever have to offer sacrifices. We're not familiar with that, but it takes some skill to burn up an animal in total, and so he had to organize it and lay the wood in order. In Exodus chapter 27, flip over there if you will, Exodus 27, we're in the tabernacle. In Exodus 27, verse 20 says this, Exodus 27 and verse 20, thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring three pure olive beaten for that they bring thee pure oil olive beaten for the light to cause the lamp to burn always. In the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony, and Aaron his son shall order it from morning until evening. And so they had these lamps that they burned within the tabernacle, and there was a system to it. They burned them at certain times and fueled them at certain times and trimmed them at certain times. And God simply calls it here order. He says three times a day they'll be ordered. So there was order and organization to it. In Exodus 40, we don't have to turn there for the sake of time, but in verse 40, he uses the same term again in relationship to the table of showbread. You remember the table of showbread inside the tabernacle on which there were 12 loaves? And it talks about that so many times Aaron and his sons were to go in and they were to set the bread in order upon the table. They didn't go out and just lay 12 loaves of bread on the table any way they wanted to. They were set in order. They were in an organized fashion. So it's used there also of order. Look in Proverbs 9. Just two more and we'll be done. Proverbs 9. Not done for good. Just done here. Proverbs 9. Don't head for the door yet. Proverbs 9, it's used of wisdom. Wisdom. Proverbs 9, verse 1, wisdom hath builded her house, she has hewn out her seven pillars. Then it says in verse 2, she hath killed her beasts and hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. Here the word's translated the word furnished. We can also use the word set. You know, when we eat dinner, we set the table, don't we? Now, when you set your table, unless you eat different than most people do, you just don't randomly toss up bowls and plates and forks and spoons on the table and everybody dig in. Now, you may have been brought up that way, I don't know, but that's not how normal people do it. Normally, we put plates and forks and things in a certain order. I don't remember all that, which fork goes where, but some of you probably do. The fork goes on the plate, amen, and then you just eat with it. But there's some organization to it, and here it's used of furnishing. And in Job chapter 13, we won't turn there for the sake of time, but in Job 13, Job speaks of the fact that he will present his case before the Lord, and there are the words used of a legal argument. You know, when you present a legal argument, if you're in trouble legally and you have a lawyer, you don't want your lawyer to come into court and go, man, I don't even know where to start. You know, I don't even know what to say. And he... wouldn't it be confidence building if he opened his briefcase and there's just piles of paper and he starts digging stuff out going, what did I do with that sticky note? Where is that thing? You would say to yourself, man, this guy is totally unorganized. I'm in serious trouble. So in Job 13, it's used of a legal argument. When you present a legal argument, you present a well thought out and organized argument for what you're going to present. So the word directed in Psalm 5 does mean to aim at a target, but it also includes the idea of organization, of arraying, of setting things in order, of doing things in an orderly fashion. Listen to this. One lexicon said this. Listen, this term is never found to indicate something done in a random or in an arbitrary way, but always speaks of something planned and organized. So the term is broader than simply to aim at something. It means to be organized in the process of aiming. To array something, to furnish something, to be organized. So directed means to aim your bow at a target. Now listen, it means to aim your bow at a target, but it doesn't mean to get lucky in hitting the target. It means you've aimed your bow at the target and you've been able to hit your target because you've aimed and done so in an orderly or organized fashion. You don't go out if you're going to shoot a bow. You don't go out and just start whipping your arrows out, just flinging them down range, you know, and hoping that maybe you hit a target. No, you take time and go through the right procedures and stance and everything that's necessary to shoot a bow properly, and you do it in an organized way. Amen. Now, if you're going to, unless you got a whole lot of arrows, you know, you do it in an organized way, so that way you can hopefully hit what you're aiming at. Let's make it a little more modern. If you're going to shoot a handgun at longer ranges, not, you know, 10 yards, but if you're going to shoot a handgun at a little bit longer range or learn to shoot a handgun at longer ranges, then you've got to do two things. You've got to aim. Now, if you've done much handgun shooting, if you're going to shoot a handgun at long range, you've got to do some serious aiming. All right. And when you aim a handgun to shoot long range, you've got to be target fixated. You've got to be focused on your target. Now, in defensive shooting, it's different. You pay attention to what's going on around you, what's behind you. But in target shooting, you don't care about any of that. You just care about the target. And so you fix your eyes on the target and you don't think about anything else and you don't look at anything else. You don't pay attention to anything else because you're fixed on your target. Amen. The second thing, though, that you've got to do is you've got to approach it in an organized way. If you're going to shoot a pistol at 50, 60, 70, 80 yards, all right, you've got to be organized to watch it. You just don't grab any handgun. You have to find one that fits your hand. You just don't grab any ammo or any magazine or anything of that nature. You get the right handgun, the right ammo, the right magazine, the right pistol for the job. You do all of that and approach it in an organized way. And if you do that, when you hit the target, it won't be lucky. It'll be because you aimed and you did so and approached it in an organized fashion. Does this make sense? Come on, David is using target and shooting terminology. And he says we need to approach it in a right way. Now in Psalm 5:3, David takes all this and applies it to prayer. When he says in Psalm 5:3, let me get back over there. Psalm 5:3, he says, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. The word direct means to aim and to do so in an organized fashion. So first he said this, that he would direct his prayer to God. In other words, he says, first of all, when I pray in the morning, he said, my prayers are going to be directed, aimed at the ears of God and him alone. I'm not going to focus on other things. I'm not going to pay attention to other things. I'm going to focus my prayers on God and I'm going to aim for his ears only. Listen, I'm not praying for the benefit of anyone else as far as hearing it. I'm not praying so that I might be heard of someone else. I'm not praying for the ears of someone else. I'm not praying for the recognition of anyone else. This is a conversation that is directly between me and God. It's for His ears only, and that's who I am praying to. And when I'm on my knees praying, it is God that is in my mind. When I'm on my knees praying, it is Him that I see. When I'm on my knees and praying, my words are going upward and being shot upward toward God and for His benefit. I'm aiming to be heard by Him. And so he says, I'm going to be very careful to aim and focus intently upon who to whom it is that I'm praying. But implied in that also, I think, is the recognition of to whom you're speaking. If I'm going to focus, you know, if you're talking to someone, you want them to focus on you. And you want to be you want to be aware of the fact that they know who's speaking to you. And so David says, I'm going to aim my prayers toward God. And implied in that is the idea that he's going to give God the recognition that he's due and the honor that he's due as the one to whom he's speaking. You have to be careful. I've said this many times. You have to be careful in prayer when it comes to using the names of the Lord, such as the word Lord. You've got to be careful in prayer not to use the word Lord as mindless filler. Because we've all prayed and we've heard people pray, Lord, you know, Lord, give me Lord and Lord, you know, Lord and Lord and Lord and Lord. And there's nothing wrong with using his name in prayer, but so many times we use it as mindless filler because, let's face it, it is our nature to be lazy in prayer. And you can tell when we're being... Now, sometimes it can be just habit. I understand that. So if you do that, I'm not saying you're a lazy bum when it comes to prayer. It can be a bad habit. But it also is true that many times the titles of the Lord are used as nothing. I don't know what else to say, so I just say, Lord. You know, like. It's like we use like, you know, like that. Except instead of like, we use Lord. Same thing. You know, a like annoys me. And the Lord would have to, it annoys me if people go like, you know, and it's like, and like, you know, and like. Do you not know any other words? And the Lord's got to be going, I know who I am. And so we have to be careful doing that. But at the same time, the title or word Lord, if used thoughtfully and aimed properly, can be a term of honor and can be a form of glory in giving praise unto him. So there's nothing wrong with using his names. It's recognition to whom we're speaking. If we're directing our prayer to God and we're aiming at him and he is the focus of our mind, then there's nothing wrong with giving him glory in prayer by using some of his names in recognition of to whom it is we are praying. Jesus did that when he gave us the example of prayer. Pray our Father. There's nothing wrong with praying Father. As long as we're not going Father and Father and Father, Father and Father and Father and Father as mindless filler. As long as we're aware of the fact that we're giving recognition to him as our Father. Would you agree with me tonight that most of the time when we're praying Lord and Lord and, you know, and Lord and Lord and Lord, we're not giving recognition to his Lordship. We're filling space because we don't know what else to say. And there's nothing wrong with using Father as long as we do it in a proper way. David does the very same thing here in Psalm 5 verse 2. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. And he uses titles in his prayer as he directs them toward God to give honor and glory unto him. So David does it. The Lord Jesus Christ did it. Paul spoke of doing it. Paul said, talked about praying Abba, Father, when we pray, one of the titles of God. In the Bible, many times titles are connected to prayer. King of Kings is connected to prayer. Lord of Lords is connected to prayer. God over all and blessed forever. Paul prayed that way. He spoke of the Father of Lights. Sometimes the title Great Jehovah is connected to prayer. At times in the Old Testament, we have one example her name left me now, but Abraham's other wife, when she prayed, God, thou seest me. And so there are a lot of titles that's used in connection with prayer. And there's nothing wrong with those as long as our aim is toward God, as we're praying in the morning, our aim is toward God, and we're invoking these titles as a way of expressing the idea that we know to whom it is that we're praying, and we're seeking to give him glory and honor. So there's nothing wrong with using Lord or King of Kings or God over all and blessed forever or the Great Jehovah. As long as we're invoking them in recognition of the fact that my prayer is aimed to him. There's nothing wrong with using Father as long as our prayer is directed to the Father. And we understand that. So there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Prayer aimed toward God gives recognition to who he is, and it also can give honor and glory to him when it's done properly. So David says, first of all, I will aim my prayer toward God. It will be directed toward him. But then there's the other part of the definition. The word directed not only means to aim, but it also comes from another word, which means to be organized or well thought out, to be prepared. David was saying this, please tune in. David was saying this, I'm going to aim my prayers toward God. But like Aaron arranged the showbread on the table before the veil, I will arrange my thoughts and my prayers before God. I'm just not going to aim them toward God, I'm going to arrange them before God. Just like an army prepared for battle, I'm going to array my mind, I'm going to array my requests before God. Just like someone presenting an important legal matter before a court of law, I'm going to arrange my thoughts. I'm going to arrange my mind. I'm going to arrange my words before God. I'm not going to approach this prayer haphazardly. I'm not going to approach this prayer arbitrarily. I'm not going to approach this prayer slipshod. I'm going to aim toward God. I'm going to use his titles at times in recognition of who he is, and I'm going to come before him prepared in my mind and in my words. That's in the word direct. If you're making a movie, and I know none of us probably ever will, but if you're making a movie, what do they call you? The director. What's the director do? Everybody just do whatever you want to do. I don't care. No, what's his job? It's to organize. It's implicit in the word direct, to organize. And so David says, I'm going to aim my prayers toward God. In recognition of who he is, but at the same time, I'm going to ensure that my prayers are organized. I'm going to present them as I would present any thought to any human being. You with me so far? David was saying that David said he would not aim his prayer toward God haphazardly. He wouldn't aim his prayer toward God in some kind of random, thoughtless fashion. His manner of prayer would not be arbitrary. When I was in the military, and they may still use this term, I don't know, because it's been a long time since I was in the military, but when they taught us to shoot automatic weapons, one term that they used that you never wanted to have to use was spray and pray. If you had an automatic weapon, if it came down to spray, it just meant that you just sent a bunch of bullets downrange and prayed that you hit something. And if you're in battle, you don't want to spray and pray, because the enemy's coming, and you just turn a bunch of bullets loose and pray that you hit something. No, you want to be a little more effective than that. And David's saying, using these archery and firing terms, he says, I don't want to spray and pray in my prayer life. He says, I want to be thoughtful, pointed. I want to aim toward God. I don't want to be arbitrary. I don't want to be random. I want to present my prayer in a right way. David says, when I pray, I will be focused in my thoughts and my mind, target fixated on God, but also focused on my thoughts and my words. Think about it this way. David's saying this. When I come before him, I'm going to come prepared to do business. I'm going to come prepared to present my case. I'm going to come prepared to present my requests. I'm going to come before the God of all and blessed forever in a prepared, thoughtful fashion. That shouldn't be too hard to conceive of. It is God, after all. So David says, I'm going to pray every morning, but I'm just not going to get up and just say a bunch of words. He says, I'm going to direct them to the ears of God Almighty, the great Jehovah, my heavenly Father. And when I come before him, I'm not going to spray and pray. No, when I come before him, I'm going to present my case properly. And I'm going to present my requests properly. If it's good enough for a court of law, it's good enough for the courts of heaven. That we come before him in some type of thoughtful manner. Amen? The idea of aimed and organized are not two different definitions. They are the same word, and they're connected. They go together. Let's say for a minute that I have a very serious need in my life. We'll call it money for the sake of argument. I have this very serious need in my life that I can't meet, and it involves a bunch of money. And I can't meet that need, but I find out there's this man who can, and he is able to meet my need. And he's a very powerful man, very influential man, and he has graciously agreed to hear my request. With me so far? Now, so the meeting time comes, and I think, okay, this guy can help me. Man, it's just amazing. He's been willing to hear my request. It's gracious that he would even do so. Who am I, you know, that he even cares about me, but he's willing to listen to my request. When I go into that meeting, I probably wouldn't walk in and stick out my hand and say, "How you doing, man?" I probably wouldn't do that, would I? I would probably wouldn't go, "Give me a high five. How's it going, dude?" I'd never use the word dude anyway, but I probably wouldn't say that. Would I? Oh, come on, would I? I'd probably use the word sir a lot, don't you think? Right. Sir, I sure appreciate you taking time to hear my request. I know you didn't have to do it, but sir, I want you to know how much I appreciate the fact that you're willing to hear me. Not only that, I probably would put some thought into what I was going to say before I got there. You know, my wife comes to me, "Well, I hear you got an appointment to see that very influential, important businessman, John Kirby, and he can help your needs, and he's graciously agreed to hear you." And she says, "What are you going to say?" I just figured I'd wing it. No, I'd probably put some thought into what I was going to say. I probably wouldn't go in there if I had a proposal to present. I probably wouldn't go in there digging through my briefcase. Where is that sticky note? I would probably have it all laid out and ready to present in an organized fashion. I'd probably have something to say, and I would probably have given some thought to what I was going to say. With me? That's exactly what's implied in this word. Not doesn't. Implied, it's what it means, the word directed. It means to aim our prayers toward God and then to approach it in an organized fashion. They're not two separate words, they're combined. It means I'm going to come before God, but I'm going to come before Him in recognition of who He is. The fact that He has graciously agreed to hear my request. Why would I come before Him now in anything other than in reverence and respect? And why would I come before Him mindlessly or in some slipshod fashion or utterly unprepared to stand before the King? It's all implied in the word directed. We are to direct our prayers. We don't pray like we're just flinging arrows into the sky and hoping one lands someplace. We don't do that. We direct our prayers. If you want to hit a target in archery, you have to direct your arrow. If you want to have God hear our prayers, we've got to direct our prayers. We can't just fling cliches and phrases we picked up into the air and hope that somehow God will respond. Sometimes God may respond just out of grace, but that's not how you consistently hit the target in prayer. David says, "I'm not going to pray that way. I'm not going to just wing it." David uses these two ideas concerning prayer: directing them to God, using His titles to give Him glory, and also reminding us to whom it is that we're speaking and the grace of God involved in hearing our requests and praise. Aiming. But then also never coming before Him in some arbitrary fashion or in some slipshod way in a manner we would never speak to an important man in. If your commander gives you something he wants you to report back to him in the military, and he gives you a date to come into his office and give your report, you probably, if you have any sense, will come prepared. You probably won't go in there and just start repeating a bunch of random cliches that you've heard someone else say. You'd probably come in some organized fashion. Come before God in conversation that reflects the one to whom we are speaking. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but God is an intelligent being. And He probably prefers to be spoke to intelligently. What's one of our pet peeves? When somebody speaks to us like we're an idiot. Don't you love that? When people talk to you like you're an idiot. What, do you think I'm an idiot? That person thinks I'm an idiot. You wonder if sometimes in heaven God's not going, "They think I'm an idiot." Not literally. But we need to come before Him in an organized fashion. David said that not only would he pray every morning, but that his prayer would be focused and mindful. After all, he was speaking to the God who is over all and blessed forever. He says, "I need to aim them toward God, and I need to come before Him in a manner that's befitting to whom I'm speaking. To present my case, direct my prayers." But now, secondly, notice this. In Psalm 5, verse 3, David said not only would he direct his prayers, but directed prayer brings expectation of answered prayer. Can I get ahead of myself and say this? That one of the reasons I think why we don't really expect anything from prayer is because we don't direct our prayers. When you fall into the habit of praying cliches, "God bless this" and "Lord bless that," and without any real focus or aim or presentation in our requests, you're not going to expect a response because we're not really praying. We're just repeating things we've heard in phrases that we've prayed every day without any real thought. There's no direction to our prayer. And the only way to have an expectation of an answer to prayer is when we direct our prayer. And David ties this idea of directing our prayer to answered prayer. Notice what David says at the end of verse 3. It says, O Lord, in the morning I will direct my prayers unto thee. And you don't want to miss those next four words. And will look up. He says, I'm going to direct my prayer to God, aim at God. I'm going to organize it, direct it to him in a thoughtful fashion. And then I will look up. Now, the term look up is also an archery term. And it means to look up to see where your arrow went after you let it fly. If you shoot at a target with your bow, you don't go whang, let the thing go, and then turn around and go home. You look to see where it went. Because you want to know if you, come on, if you what? Hit the target or hit your neighbor's barn or whatever it is you hit. It means to look up and see where your arrow went to see what happened to it. Let's say for a minute that, let's say we're going shooting. Me and you are going shooting together. We're going to go out and shoot some handgun, waste some ammo, and a lot of money. So we're going to go out and do some shooting. And so me and you go together, and we get out there in the range, you know, and I pull out my gun, and I'm aiming down range, and I'm bam, 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 drop the clip, slap another one in, bam, 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 drop the clip, slap another one in. I run through about five or six clips and never stop. At this point, you're probably going to go, whoa, what are you doing? Are you not going to look and see where your bullets are impacting? No, man, I just love sending rounds downrange. 25 cents a pop. This is what I love doing every time it goes downrange. We'd say, man, you're crazy. You need to stop and see where your bullets are impacting, what's going on, or where they're going, or where they're landing. One writer wrote this of this passage in Psalm 5:3. David, he said that David was saying this, I will place my prayer on my bow and direct it upward to God, and then I will look up to see what becomes of it. In other words, I will look up in expectation of an answer. It means to let your prayer fly, aim it, direct it toward God in a thoughtful fashion, and then expect to see an answer or expect to receive a response. David fully expected, come on, this is David's expectation. He fully expected that if he aimed his morning prayers toward God, that something would become of it. That something would be happening. It would be interesting to know, if we could know, how many prayers we've loaded in our bow and shot toward heaven and never really looked for an answer. Never really expected a response. You know, I would say, and if you're not this way, then forgive me, but just as a general statement, I would say that most of us have probably flung a whole lot of prayers toward heaven that we never really looked up in anticipation of a response. Sometimes prayer for us is something we have to do before we go do what we want to do. Prayer is something we have to do before we put our plan in place. Prayer is something we have to do before we do what we've already decided we must do. And we never really pray looking, expecting a response. I mean, do we really get down on our knees in the morning and pray for something aimed toward the ears of God in an organized fashion which we expect an answer? I expect God to answer. I expect that He will give me direction. I expect that He will let me know what I must do. I expect that He will know, help me to make this decision. I expect that He will meet this need. I'm going to look up until He responds. I've let my prayer fly. Now I'm going to look up to see what becomes of it. And I will expect that something becomes of it. If I shoot a round downrange, I expect it to land somewhere. And if we send a prayer upward, we should expect it to impact something in some way in our life. And David says, I'm going to look up until I see what happens. David had this expectation, I think. Listen, I think this all goes together. I think David had this expectation in large part because of the way he approached prayer. Remember what I said earlier? If we approach prayer in a haphazard fashion, if we get into this habit, which so many of God's people have, of where we get down on our knees and pray, and so we start repeating cliches, and we pray these phrases that we've picked up around church because we've heard other people pray them, and so we just pray these things over and over and over with no real meaning or thought or intent or expectation of it, of course we're not going to expect an answer. But if we aim our prayer toward God and use his titles, for example, as ways of giving praise and honor to him, keeping our attention focused on to whom it is that we're speaking, the great Jehovah, then we can pray in an organized fashion, present our thoughts and our needs to him, keeping our mind organized and focused, and then we can sit back and say, I've done all that I can do. I've sent my prayer toward God, and now I will look up and see what becomes of it and see what will happen. He directed his prayer toward God, showing reverence and worship and praise. And one of those ways would be in using his titles, as he does in verse 2. But he also was thoughtful. No, he was thoughtfully prepared to approach the king. He didn't spray and pray. He didn't pray using random thoughts or words. He came before God focused and deliberate. I have no doubt, again, that in part, it was David's manner in prayer that caused him to set back now and say, I know God has heard me. I will now look up and expect a response. Hence our title, Directed Prayer Causes Expected Answers. David looked up and said, I've prayed, I've approached God, what else can I do? I've come before him in a prepared fashion, my mind focused upon the things of God. I've aimed them toward the great Jehovah. Now I will look up and expect that he will respond. Do you really believe tonight? Come on, listen to me. Do you believe that if we approach prayer properly, God will respond? Amen. That we can expect a response? That we can indeed expect an answer to what I should do? I can indeed expect direction. I can indeed expect needs met. I can indeed expect God's help in whatever issue I'm dealing with. If we pray properly, we can indeed look up. I'm just telling you tonight, though, and I'm done, believe it or not, almost. I'm just telling you that when we pray haphazardly, when we pray like we do so many times out of habit, that's the reason we don't expect a response. Listen, we haven't really prayed. We've prayed someone else's phrase, someone else's cliche. There's never been any real thoughtful answer to it. Do you really think when we pray, Lord, bless our missionaries, there's any real thought in that phrase? Lord, bless the people in our church. I mean, is there any, and I know, and we may mean it in our heart, but is there any real thought, a preparation behind that when we pray that? It's not different to pray, Lord, bless the people in our church, and this to say, Lord, be with so-and-so right now. They're going through this time right now, and they were sharing this with me the other night, and they're suffering right now. Lord, and be with so-and-so. They just got a bad report from the doctor, and boy, they need some help there, and I think they just need some encouragement. Would you be with so-and-so there? Boy, they just seemed a little down last Sunday night, and they just, would you just encourage them a little bit? And that's thoughtful prayer. The other is spray and pray. We can't spray and pray and shoot mindless sentences heavenward, stray thoughts, and approach the King of Glory without being prepared to speak to the King, and then sit back and say, now I'm just expecting an answer. Let me give you some of these things real quick and we'll be done. We need to approach him thoughtfully in prayer. First of all, we need to spend time in his word. I think we always start there. You got to spend time in his word. Thoughtful prayer aimed toward God with the expectation of a response cannot be separated from time in his word. Got to spend time in his word. You can't be good at prayer and bad at Bible reading. Come on. You can't be good at prayer and bad at Bible reading. The two go hand in hand. Probably true is the reverse. You can't be good at Bible reading and bad at prayer. The two go hand in hand. We must spend time in God's word. But now listen, we say this all the time and it's true. We need to pray. Before we approach our Bible, we need to pray and ask God's help in understanding his word. Do you believe that? Yes. The things of the word of God are spiritually discerned. We have to have his help to really understand his scripture. That's the difference between reading the words and having God speak to you. We have to have his help. So we need to read his Bible, his word, and then before we read, we need to spend some time in prayer asking God's help. I think a short time in prayer asking God's help to help us understand his words and help us to understand the Bible that we're about to read. And then as we read it or when we finish reading it, we need to take some time at the end or while we're reading it and meditate on his word a little bit. Meditate on what we're reading. The purpose of this is to hear from God, but also the purpose of this is to focus my mind. Because if I read God's word and meditate on it, it begins to help clear my mind and focus my mind in preparation to pray. Come on, I'm getting ready to go before the king. I've got to get my mind focused. And if you're like me, when I get up in the morning, my mind's going 42 different directions. Because I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to be over here, and I got to take care of that, and I got to fix this, and I got to go over there, and then there's the 14 things I don't even see coming. So I've got to do all this stuff. And I've got to spend some time in God's Word and thinking upon it, meditating upon it to help focus my mind on prayer. So I need to read my Bible, and I think you ought to read it first. And I think you ought to spend some time in prayer, a short time in prayer, saying, God, please help me understand your Word and help me focus my mind on it and on you. And meditate either while you're reading it or after you're reading it on some of the things that you've read to focus your mind. Then I think you need to write down some of your requests. I say this all the time. God will not deduct points for peeking. So write down some requests so you can be organized, because you can't remember everything you have to say. You've got more to say than you can possibly remember. And you say, well, I just don't like writing stuff down. That's why you repeat the same stuff every morning when you pray. Because you're unorganized. Get you a book and write it down. Pray for these people on Monday, and these people on Tuesday, and these people on Wednesday, and these people on Thursday, and me every day. And pray for this person here and this person there. Take the missionaries and divide them up. Pray for some of them on Monday, and some of them on Tuesday, and some of them on Wednesday. Pray for your lost family on this day. And get organized. So when we sit down and pray, we can sit down and say, I know what I prayed yesterday. Here's some of the things I need to pray for today. And then certainly God will remind you of things as you're praying that you need to pray for today. Do you believe that? Amen. You say, well, if you get on a list, that's all, you'll get so regimented. No, you won't, because God will be popping things in your brain the whole time you need to pray for today. So get in His Word and ask His help in understanding it. And then read it and get your mind focused on what you're doing. Have your requests prepared, or at least those you know of ahead of time. Have them prepared. Use God's name in a way that honors Him during your prayer. To help remind yourself to whom it is you're speaking. We don't use the title Great Jehovah a lot, but there's nothing wrong with using that in prayer. Oh, Great Jehovah, my Father, oh Lord. Just make sure we use it in a way that honors Him. And listen, please listen. Listen to your prayer and listen for the bad habit of using His name as mindless filler. You'll catch yourself going, Lord, 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 oh, what am I doing? I'm not honoring God, I'm just filling space while I try to think of something else to say, because I didn't write anything down like the preacher told me to. So now I'm having to use His name while I try to think of something else to pray. But use His name in a way that honors Him, to keep yourself focused, and listen for the bad habit of repeating His name for mindless filler. Listen for cliches in your prayer, as well as phrases you've picked up and are just repeating. It's always, and we all go through this. I went through it. Everybody goes through it. So if you went through it, don't feel bad. When I first got in church, I didn't know what to pray. So I just listened to everybody else pray. And so when the first time I got called on to pray in public, what did I pray? What everybody else prayed. Because that's what you're apparently supposed to pray. Amen? Now, public prayer is not the best example, because public, my opinion is, and don't misread this, in the context in which we're talking about, public prayer doesn't accomplish a great deal. I think we need it to recognize Him in our services. And I think we need it to recognize Him in our offerings. I think we need it to recognize Him in certain things. So it's a public statement as well as to who, why we're here and whom we're speaking. But let's face it, the value of public prayer as far as accomplishing a great deal, it's private prayer where things are accomplished. That's why we a lot of times don't spend a lot of time praying on Wednesday night, because we'll accomplish a whole lot more taking it home than we will on a Wednesday night trying to rush through so we can get out the door. We're a lot more effective putting that thing in a book and reminding ourselves to pray for that on Wednesday and this on Thursday and that on Friday, so we can pray for it daily in our prayer. But to listen to those cliches and phrases, oh man, there's that cliche again. I've used it over and over and over again. I need to stop doing that and read what I've written down in my book. Amen? Watch out. Listen to this. Watch out for overly broad and basically meaningless prayer requests in your prayers. Listen for overly broad, meaningless prayer requests in your practices, like I mentioned earlier, such as, Lord, bless the people in our church. The most famous of all, Lord, bless our missionaries. Lord, bless these people, or Lord, bless our church, or Lord, bless this, or Lord, bless that. Here's a prime example. God bless America. What does that mean? as it sits on the sign, flashing sign out in front of the bar. What does that mean? God bless America. Doesn't mean anything, does it? It's not really even a request anymore in our country. What do we mean when we say, Lord, bless our church? Now, I know God knows all things, but he's probably in heaven going, what, do you mean financially, or do you mean your building project, or do you mean your missions, or do you mean, I mean, there's a lot there. Are you wanting something specific? No, we're praying and praying. And you know what that is in prayer? And I don't mean to be mean, because I've done the same thing, and I try to watch it in my life. You know what it is? It's laziness in prayer. It's a lazy prayer habit, because it's quicker and easier to pray, God bless all of it. Maybe we should just get on our knees, or just bless everything. Amen. Just be done with it. That would just cover it all. I've often thought, if I pray for my groceries or I bring them home, do I have to pray at every meal? Just get it all done at one time. Brother Auger can answer that. He's more aged than I am. Maybe he can answer that. Now, why would you think that? Because you're too lazy to pray for your meal. That's why. Just get it all done at one time. It's like people go to a restaurant. You ever been to a restaurant with somebody who has that deal where, I've been to people at restaurants where, you know, the first person to take a drink or whatever has to pray. Well, I've never really thought of it as a burden, you know. Because I was somebody here a while back, some missionary family, and I did something. Oh, now you got to pray. I'm like, fine, I don't care, I'll pray. It's not like it's a problem. Oh, man, I got to pray. How do I get stuck praying? It's been punished, having to pray. But we need to listen for mindless, meaningless phrases in our prayer. Lord, bless this. Listen, this, and this is serious. Lord, bless our family. Well, I want my family to be blessed, but let's be honest, that prayer doesn't really mean anything. Lord, bless. Lord, be with this son because he's going through this right now. Be with this daughter because she's having this challenge right now. Be with my wife because right now she's going through this. That's meaningful prayer. Lord, bless the whole bunch. Amen. Doesn't mean anything. We need to listen as we're praying for meaningless, lazy practices in prayer. Ask God to help you focus and control your thoughts. I don't know about you, but there are some days I am like a laser beam. And there's other days I am like a shotgun. I am everywhere. And there are some days when I'm praying, and every 5 minutes I go, Lord, I'm so sorry. If I make it 5 minutes, Lord, I'm sorry. Lost my train of thought. Get back on track. And at those times, I find the best thing to do is just stop and say, God, I am so sorry. I am so unfocused. Lord, please help me focus my mind. Do you believe that we have an enemy out there that would love to get us off focus? And we'll flood our mind with every thought of everything we have to do, everybody that offended us, everything we're mad about, in an effort to get us off focus in prayer. God, help me focus on my prayer. So spend time in His Word. Ask God for help in understanding His Word. Meditate on it a little bit to get your mind focused. Write down requests. There's nothing wrong with that, to be organized. You don't pray the same thing every day. And so that way you get everything prayed for that you need to pray for. Use God's name as a way of focusing on Him and giving honor and glory to Him. But watch out for the bad habit of using it as mindless filler. And listen for those cliches that we pick up and use as mindless filler. Watch out for overly broad or basically meaningless requests that we just spray out there that tries to cover everything. It's a lazy practice in prayer. It's quick, but it doesn't accomplish anything. Ask God to help you focus and control your thoughts. There are days when you got to have help. Some days it's easy to focus in prayer. And in some days, it's just like your mind is every place. Lord, I just need some help today. Help me focus. I'm just so, my mind is just everywhere. Practice keeping your mind occupied on God. Focus on Him. And then lastly, we could give you a whole bunch of other stuff, but lastly, I think this is an important one. Make rules for yourself in prayer. Make rules. You say, what do you mean? Well, I'm not turning on the television to watch the news until I pray. Because if you do that, your mind will never be focused. Well, you know, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to read the paper. I'm not going to check email. I'm not going to look at my phone. Hello? I'm not going to look at my phone. I'm not going to check my text messages. I'm not going to check my Facebook page until I've prayed. Because you know what happens when we do that stuff? And then we wonder why we get on our knees and our mind's so unfocused. Because we're thinking about everything we've read, everything somebody said, and somebody posted something. I can't believe they posted that. And then our mind's all out of focus. We need to get up, spend time in His Word, and spend time with God before we do anything else. Make some rules for yourself. I'm not going to do this until I do this. If you have to brush your teeth, go ahead. But I'm not going to do this until I pray. I'm not going to do that until I pray. Because I know if I do that, listen to me, I know if I do that, it's going to get me all unfocused. And it's going to affect my prayer life in a negative way. My prayer today in a negative way. Amen? I want to pray and expect a response. I want to expect something to happen. So, David says, Lord, in the morning you will hear from me. You will hear from me in the mornings. Twice David says in the mornings, because it's so important to spend time with God in the morning. But he says, I'm going to direct my prayer to you in the morning. I'm going to aim for God. My prayer is not for anybody else to hear but him. I'm just praying for him and no one else. This is a conversation between me and God. But I'm going to direct him. I'm not just going to aim him. I'm going to direct him. I'm going to come before God prepared. I'm going to spend some time in his word, get my mind focused on God. I'm going to have my request ready to go so that that way I can be organized in my response to him. Not regimented, being open to God speaking to my heart about praying for something that's not on my list. But I want to be organized so I can remember to pray for all things I need to pray for. And I'm going to use his name to honor him, but I'm going to listen for using it as mindless filler. I'm going to watch out for phrases and cliches and overly broad requests that mean absolutely nothing. I'm going to keep my thoughts focused on God, and I'm going to make some rules in my life. I'm not doing this until I pray, because it never works. If I do this, I always get... How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you ever got more and thought, well, I need to get my Bible reading, my prayer done, and you flip on the TV or you look at your phone, the next thing you know, 30 minutes has gone by and you still haven't prayed. Next thing you know, you're out of time. So now you got to go to work, and you'll just pray twice as much tomorrow. You know how well that works. Or I know what to do. I'll just pray tonight. That's what I'll do. I'll pray tonight. No, you won't. Because once we blow that, it's pretty much blown, isn't it, in our life? It takes discipline to direct prayers toward God. But if we'll learn to direct them toward God, I think we'll be a lot more apt to be able to say, now I can look up and expect. I expect an answer. I shot this prayer heavenward properly, and I am going to look up and expect that God will answer. I know he will give me direction. I know he'll give me leadership. I know he'll respond. I know he will. Because I've presented and directed my request to the King of Kings, who graciously has heard me. And I know he will meet my need. Amen? Why don't you stand with me if you would tonight?